as I was saying, you're welcome to make comments or, you know, ask questions and things like that, just as long as we stay within the topic, subject matter itself. And so you're always welcome to do that. One of the things that we've come to the conclusion on is that we all know in part. I have an understanding of a lot of things, but at the same time, I'm still learning myself. And so our ministry is very different in that, you know, once we finish with our campus here in Dallas, then there are things that, you know, that we'll be doing in certain cities. And we'll have an event center that will seat around about 1,000. And so the stage where we have things set up for, you know, the teaching and things like that to go on, it won't be just me that's sitting up there. We'll have different elders, leaders, whatever you want to call them, shepherds, pastors, that will be sitting up there. It would kind of be like a panel, like a sitting whereby all of our minds can work together to bring our nation into understanding. The facility that we're preparing is for the remnant of Israel. It's for the remnant of Israel. We are the primary source by which that facility has been is being prepared for the remnant. Not all Israel. You have to understand that not all Israel is going to be coming to that place, because you have a lot of Israelites who are going to remain in Mystery Babylon, at least until it's destroyed. Mystery Babylon is a religious system that's currently in place that is going to fall. Most people think it's America, but it's not America. It's the whore of Revelation sit on the beach. So the beach is kingdom based upon the scripture. So when you look at it sits upon kingdoms, then we know America is a kingdom, or at least a part of the seventh kingdom that Revelation talk about. Well, that kingdom is eventually going to come to its destruction for the little horn, or the last beast, the eighth beast, to come on the scene, and that eighth beast is gonna desire for mankind to worship it. Okay, most people call it the one world order and things like that. So you have things that's trying to be set up for the one world order, but the people who are actually trying to set it up for themselves is actually setting it up, and they don't realize it. You know, everything is being used as a tool to bring about Yah's will. So you have people, like I said, as far as the Jews who are claiming that they are the nation of Israel, they're fulfilling the tool, the scriptures, being a tool for Yah, as far as Luke 21 and 24, that Jerusalem will be trodden down underfoot by the Gentiles and to the fullness of the Gentiles. And so they're a tool. And they think they're the ones, just like this current system think it is the one. But Yah is bringing up an eighth beast the same way he's bringing up his true people. So all these things are kind of coinciding with one another. So that facility is being set up for the remnant of Israel. I know there'll be Israelites who will want to remain in churches, who will want to remain in religion and worship the white Jesus and all that. I'm fine with that. Go on and do what you got to do. I'm not trying to reach all Israel. I'm called to the remnant. I'm called to preach to the remnant. Those that hear, that's who I'm called. Called to preach the gospel to. I'm declaring it to the world. Last time I checked for my brother there, brother out of California, there are about 25 countries who's reading things that I'm writing, about 25 countries right now. And so I am I am declaring to the world, but I'm specifically, you know, I like how Paul says in Romans, you know, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for basically, nutshell, for salvation unto all men, to Israel first. You know, they put in Jew, but it's Israel. To Israel first, and then the Greek or the Gentile. And so I have a primary source. Now, if you have Gentiles who want to hear and understand, I will teach it from a perspective of truth and let them know what their role is in the future. And if they can handle that, that's fine. But my calling is to the remnant, but I'll declare to the world. And so so that facility is being set up for that specific purpose. It's for the remnant of Israel. And so you know, that is our primary focus. Okay. Now, as we go on to looking at some of these things and dealing with Israel, there's some things that I'm getting ready to post now. And boy, look at him. You know, I can't wait to go post it after I finish here. But I want to kind of go into that now. And then I don't know if next week we'll get into what I'm about to talk about, but I may do some up today. I don't know yet. Just see how y'all lead. And so let's pray. Father, y'all, we bless your name for just giving us the opportunity to present ourselves to you on the Sabbath. We remember it. We keep it holy. And we thank you, y'all, for our Savior, Hoshua Mashiach, who is our Redeemer. He is soon to come to gather us as the scattered people whom you will gather back into the land. This is the true rapture that the church teaches, that we will be brought back to our homeland. And we look forward to that day. In the wonderful name of our Savior, we do pray. Amen. Now, I guess we'll start out in Jeremiah 31, and we'll look at verse 10. But like I said, we'll move around a little bit today. Now, one of the things you have to understand is the more that we understand about who we are as the nation of Israel, and the more we look at things in the Scripture, all this will start to come together. It's supposed to. If we're teaching doctrines that doesn't confirm what we've been talking about for these years, then it's not precept. We're finding new things to discuss, and it doesn't incorporate the old things that we've discussed. We'll have new topics, but it should be coinciding with the old things that we've discussed. And that's what amazes me about Christianity. People can come up with all these different topics. You know, they can come up with topics about, you know, how to love your man and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be like, okay, where is this precept upon precept stuff, all these different topics that these preachers come up with, and they just pull a, I ain't going to say what I saw. Y'all always make me say stuff that I see. Yeah, pull a topic out of the ring. I say it that way instead of how I normally say it. They'll pull a topic out of the ring, and they'll just teach on it, and everybody eat it up. And I mean, Israelites, especially Israelites, we just eat up anything. And what we have to understand is that we are being taught, or we have been taught, and when I say we are, I speak in big picture, so I'll stick with we are. We are, as the nation of Israel, have been taught our history from a perspective of people who stole it and made it themselves. And so now we have people who have come to certain facets of knowledge, and now there's confusion going on about our heritage, because they're saying, some Israelites say, I completely reject the Bible, because, man, these white folks wrote that Bible, man. Because they don't know who they are, they don't know who the people are, and because they don't know who the people are, they think the people have actually wrote about themselves. But if they could take and realize that what the people have taught us by God using them as a tool, all we have to do is flip it and put ourselves in it, and we'll understand what's going on, what's really going on. And so the reason why you have a lot of people who reject it is because they think that European nations, the sons of Japheth, you get people that say, you know, they're Edom too. There's a lot of things that's going on with that, where there's a there's a, you know, a mixture of races going all up in there. I ain't getting caught up in the trying to say who beat them and who what. But one thing I do know that, you know, the days of this system is about to change, and that's why I kind of question who Edom is to a certain perspective. And I say, I'm just going to sit back and see, because you get on there and say, Edom is a white man. Well, I'm like, okay, I'm going to just sit back and see on this him, because Edom ain't looking necessarily that way to me when I see scriptures, because I know there's an eight beast coming up. And because people see in the natural and see from a certain perspective and say, well, see, Edom has been in control. Or as they say, a white man has been in control of this throughout history. Well, when you start looking at real pureness of scripture, you can kind of disprove a lot of stuff that's going on with that. So I don't get caught up in that kind of conversation to try to determine what color Edom is. I know based upon the scripture who Japheth is, and I know those Jews are descendants of Japheth based upon their own admission. And so from that perspective, you know, they'll tell you they Ashkenaz Jews. You find Ashkenaz in Genesis chapter 10. They'll tell you that Togarmah is their father also. You find him in Genesis chapter 10 under Japheth. So I don't get caught up into the Edom issue. Okay? If Edom is the last days, then, you know, you got eight beasts that's rising up. That's Edom. If he's the last days, okay? So that's my perspective on it. I just kind of leave that conversation alone. Don't get caught up in trying to point out who Edom is, because when Yah reveals that to the full understanding of it, I know one thing: Edom is my brother. Edom is my immediate brother, or our immediate brother, because Edom is Esau, so he's our immediate brother. And folks that they're calling Edom don't look like me immediately. You know, and I know there's some other things going on, and they're saying, well, it ain't about color. Well, we just going to wait and see. Because, you know, my perspective at this point is Edom may be rising with that eighth beast. And if he's rising with the eighth beast, then he going to look different than this system that's about to come down. You know, my personal perspective, and I throw it out there, and then I just kind of leave it on. I believe Edom is your Muslim nation. But at the same time, it can't be put in concrete right now, so I'm just bagging off. But do Muslim brothers look more like me than Japheth or Ashkenaz does? So I just leave that part alone. And you can take it however you want to. But, you know, I don't go out teaching it at this point, so I encourage you not to do the same thing. I just kind of threw some things out there to kind of give you some pictures of some other side that can show another point of view about some things. I believe the eighth beast is rising, and I believe Edom is the nation that sits on top of it. That's just my perspective. But I don't just teach that in detail because you know how that goes. Now, again, Jeremiah, we'll start at Jeremiah 31. We'll look at verse 10, and then we'll move through there. Like I said, these things, Jeremiah is a really, every time I read a book, man, it just has so much information. I was in Isaiah, I was like, man, it's just so much wonderful information. You know, getting Jeremiah, same thing, it's just, all this stuff is just good stuff, y'all. Every time I get in a book, it's like the best book in the Bible. And so all of it turned out to be the best book in the Bible, so all of it just the best stuff. So, but again, Jeremiah 31, I'll read verse 10 for the sake of the time, but when you get a chance, just read some things. You can go on to 29, Jeremiah 29. There's a lot of stuff going on in there that that just reveals some wonderful truths to give us more and more concrete information about who we are as a nation. But Jeremiah 31, verse 10 says, "Hear the word of Jehovah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him." It's vitally important for us to understand this concept. And Yah has given us biblical principles, precept upon precept, you know, command connecting to command, precept upon precept, line upon line, command connecting to command. He's given us, or he's teaching us, his laws, statutes, and judgments so that we can be able to stand in the midst of our enemy and tear down and build up. tear down doctrine. I had one brother in a class that I was teaching, and he said as I was teaching some things that he had saw pillars, and he said these pillars were pillars or beams that held up the church, and he said he saw me knocking them down. He said, bro, you're knocking down the pillars of Christianity. You bringing them down, which takes away the structure by which these things are being built on. So the only way to do that is precept upon precept with the word. So you can look at this one sentence here and understand that the people in the land are not supposed to be in the land. They're not supposed to be in the land. And then I'll share some things with you about this here, some things I've heard about, and I'll just share it just for the sake of conversation because I think it's interesting. So, again, Jeremiah 31, verse 10 says, hear the word of Jehovah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles for all, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doeth his flock. So we understand that Yah is the source that scattered us. And see, when you start getting people who are angry because we were taken in slavery past and even still in captivity to a certain extent. When you get the anger that's associated with it until the point to where it starts to, until we start to lash out of other nations that had a hand in it, they were just tools. We got to understand that. When we understand the true reason why we were scattered, then we'll humble ourselves and seek the face of the one who scattered us. And that's the problem with Israel. We're angry at the Europeans when we should be walking in humility and seeking Yah. And y'all is like, yeah, stay out there with your stiff neck self and complain and fuss and talk about how you hate and this, that. That is not our focal point as far as the nation is concerned. Our focal point is to try to get our people to come back to our Yah. That's our message. We have to follow in the footsteps of our Redeemer, Yehoshua Mashiach. We have to follow in his footsteps. What did he do? He came on the scene, he got 12 disciples, and said, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Preach, tell them the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. So we as the nation of Israel, we as the pastors, the leaders, the shepherds of Israel, we have to have the same concept. So when you have our brothers who are out and they're constantly just, white man going to hell, you going to burn. That ain't our focal point. That ain't our focal point whatsoever. He told our nation, Yehoshua, told our nation, he told the 12 disciples, he said, go not to the city of Samaria. Go not to the Samaritans. Why are we having a conversation with them? Go not to the Samaritans. Don't even go in that city. Enter ye. Don't even pay no attention to them. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They spending an hour fussing with white folks when they should be spending an hour talking to our nation. See, because here's what we have to understand. The well-known pastor, one thing he did say was the truth. He said, America is not a Christian nation. Well, I said true to a certain extent because he said it to according to his understanding, but I beg to differ. I said, well, yeah, America is a Christian nation. When you understand what Christianity really is, it's a pagan nation. So Christianity is paganism. That's why we put the Christmas tree with the birth of Yehoshua, and we put, the Easter bunny with the Passover. Because this is a Christian nation. So, yeah, it is a Christian nation. So I agree with him to a certain extent because I knew what he was trying to say. But at the same time, because I understand the big picture, I said, but you're still wrong. This is a Christian nation. This is a paganism nation. Christianity is paganism. So, yeah, this is a Christian nation. It's just that according to your understanding, you think that Christianity is the church, but in reality, Israel is the church, so to speak, that Christianity needs to get out of Mr. Babylon and come into, grafted in, Romans 11. So as we understand these different things, we have to, it brings us to the knowledge that we have to get our focus the same way our Savior and the disciples, apostles had their focus on. The twelve disciples had their focus on. We got to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and start teaching them the truth. And at the same time, we declare that truth to all nations for the hearer, for the hearing. And it is vitally important that we understand. And then it amazes me how my brothers contradict themselves. One minute they said they're going to be destroyed, and then the next minute they said they're going to be slaves. I'd be like, well, which is it? Are they going to be the star, or are they going to be the slave? You need to break down and explain it in a way that the people truly understood. One minute you're hating all white folks, and the next minute they all dying and going to burn, and the next minute they're going to be the slave. Well, you just confusing folks. You need to be able to break the thing down and give people a true understanding of what's going on, because the scripture points out that Israel going to be destroyed also. Even when our nation left out of Egypt, the scripture points out that not all Israel left Egypt, but all Israel physically left Egypt. It says that some of mine was still on them leeks and still on them that nice food and all this. I remember the good time we were having in Egypt. Man, we had all that good food and all that stuff. You forgot about getting beat all upside the head out there in that doggone the pit, whatever, making them bricks. And so you will have in the future certain members of our nation that will cleave to the heathen ways. Okay? And so that has to be understood. And so it's vitally important for us to realize that we got to preach we declare to all mankind, specifically Israel, but at the same time, our true message will cause the remnant to move. So when Israelites start to rebuke the message, I don't be dismayed by that, because that's just the scripture being fulfilled. 2/3 or 66% of Israel will be cut off in the future. That's mind-boggling. Now, let's go in and we'll deal with it now. Okay. Now, again, Jeremiah 31:10, it says, hear the word of Jehovah, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scatters Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doeth his flock. In other words, to understand this now, our disobedience to our Yah is the only reason why we went into slavery. It is the only reason why we have ever went into slavery. Or gone into slavery. It is the only reason. The Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Atlantic slave trade, even other issues that's associated with some form of slavery that history does not reveal. We don't realize. See, our mind is so small in America. We Americans are so arrogant. What I mean by we Americans, I'm talking we American Israelites. We're so arrogant and so small-minded. We just think this slavery thing has to do with the Atlantic slave trade, and we don't realize our people are still over in Africa in slavery. Because we only associate with us. If it ain't happening with us, it ain't happening nowhere. They just have us in invisible chains now, nowadays. But there are some Israelites over in lands in Africa and all over the world that's still in physical chains. Yes. Yeah. Or I thought you were trying to say. Oh, so it's vitally important for us to understand it. So our disobedience is the only reason why we have gone into slavery throughout our history. Now, with that understanding, based upon Jeremiah 31 and 10, Yah is the only, I stress only, Yah is the only method by which we will be gathered. Ain't no allied forces gonna do it, ain't no Balfour Declaration. You go check that stuff out where some underhanded stuff was done, but it was to fulfill the Bible prophecy, so they were just being used as a tool. The Balfour Declaration, in a nutshell, what was signed to allow those Jews to become, so to speak, or to claim our land as their land, and to become an Israeli nation, not an Israel nation, an Israeli nation, or a Jewish nation. Okay? That was signed by mankind. And then you got Christians all over the world, pretty much, you know, especially a lot of them here in America, that you know, I think it was here in America, they had got this jet or something and called it the wings of eagles. I think they put that on the side of it and was transporting Jews back into the land. Wrong folks. Christian folks are all in this thing because that's Mr. Babylon. They don't have a clue. The book is sealed to them. So they believe the folks. Instead of reading the scripture, here you have preachers who are supposed to be reading the scripture, but yet somebody else teach them about who the scripture says that the real people are. What kind of stuff is that? And so as we look at it here, our Savior is the only one who can gather us back in that land. He's the only one who can gather us back in that land. Now here's what I found out that's interesting. You know, and I believe it was 1967, I think 1948 or something like that, the war happened. But there were some things also happened in 1967. And y'all help me with that if I can't remember. No, I think 1948, they had that war. And then 1967, something happened. Something happened that was interesting. But what I want to point out is that in 1967, there are Israelites from Chicago that also went into Israel, the land of Israel. And so you will get them that will say, they get talking about the blood moons and different things like that, and they'll say, well, okay, in 1967, I can't remember exactly what happened in 1967, and like I said, y'all help me with it if you can. But there's some things happened to, so to speak, Israel in 1967, or the so-called Jews in 1967, that had something to do with the land. But at the same time, there were Israelites who migrated, actual Israelites from Chicago, who migrated into the land of Israel in 1967 also. And so you may have some things that's going on to where they may try to tie it to their significance, but there were some things significant happening to the land and our people at the same time. Okay? It's just that people don't talk about it, but when you look at the time frame, those Israelites who were in, I believe, Dimona, that left Chicago, I think it was made by Benjamin into the land of Israel, they went into that land in 1967. And so when the Jewish people talk about 1967 and show significant things to try to confirm or to prove that they're the people, what are the hidden ones that went in there in 1967 too? Okay? And so I'll leave that at that right there for right now. Now, it is vitally important for us to understand these principles. And I'm sharing things with you that you already know, but like I said, you should. But repetition is the mother of learning. You should be constantly getting this information because as I read things, everything is starting to sound the same, but it's just interesting to me to find out that it's all sounding the same in Scripture from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It is real neat to hear. And so when you hear something that sounds the same, don't get distracted because it sounds the same. That should be encouraging. You're like, man, this is tying together precept upon precept, line upon line. So, again, now, it doesn't take a Bible scholar to understand what's going on. This goes to show how Satan the adversary, has deceived the whole world. It don't take a Bible scholar. It don't take a preacher to know what's going on. All it takes is common sense. And so, you know, what it really boils down to is a lot of people either don't have common sense or they just refuse to use it. And I believe people just refuse to use it, you know. Everybody has common sense, but I believe most people just refuse to use it. And then on the other hand, you know, you have a lot of people who just don't want to accept what common sense can reveal to them. So here's a common sense issue now. Okay, here's a common sense issue. You know, Israel has 12 tribes. We know that. We've read about it. We've been teaching on it for years now. We know without a doubt that Israel has 12 tribes. Everybody who looks at the Bible or spent any amount of time with the Bible will tell you that Israel has 12 tribes. There are 12 tribes in Israel. So with that understanding, anybody with common sense would have to ask the question, okay, why is only one allowed back in the land? Why is only one the official representative of our nation? And anybody else who is a part of the nation is not allowed in the nation or in the land unless they submit to the doctrines of the Israelis or the Talmud. See, because it's just not following the Torah, the first five books that they use, but they also incorporate the Talmud, which is their oral writing. You know, I talked about that a few weeks ago. It is their oral writing. So not only do they come, you know, they come into that, but then in other words, if you're going to be an Israelite, and for whatever reason or another you're able to prove it enough, then they said, well, you can come back to the land, but you got to take on our religion, Judaism, which incorporates the Torah, the law, our law, the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets. But then they said you have to also accept our Talmud, our oral writings. In other words, what we sit down and read and thought and see. And you have to accept Judaism in order to be considered back in the land, because they have admitted, you know, they've even gone and got some Ethiopian Jews that they say, you know, give or take. I don't know at this point, but and they've gone and gotten some Ethiopians that don't look nothing like them. You know, I think if you my brother, we ought to look something alike. I mean, your toenail or something ought to be same color as mine. Something ought to be about us to show we related. But it amazes me, all them Ethiopian Jews that's over there don't look like the Jews that's over there already. Something just right. Common sense is telling me that if we come from the same daddy, then something ought to be going on that make us look something alike. I mean, all you got to do is get around any of my father's kids, and you can look at them and say, yeah, that's his kid. You can get around any of my kids and you can say, yeah, that's his boy kids. Ain't no doubt about it, that's his kids. And so when you look at these things, common sense will make you sit back and say, wait a minute, that's something wrong with this picture now. You got this one tribe, supposedly, you know, these Jews that say they come from Judah. You know, they got to be connected closer to the cream of the crop because they know that's where Jesus or Yehoshua comes from. Judah, the tribe of Judah, so, you know, and Solomon and King David and all that, so, you know, they feel like that's the best tribe, so claim that one. You know, but it just don't make sense when you look at it from a common sense perspective. We're the other level. Although there are more than that, when you really look at and break down the tribes, and you have some that have taken the place of others, but I'm just stick with 12. I mean, what are the levels, man? And why if I can prove that based upon scripture that my heritage is of the nation of Israel, why I can't come back to my land? Because Yah said, I scattered you, I'll gather you. It's vitally important for us to understand that. And so these things are pointed out. You can look at Luke 21 and 24, where it points out that these Gentiles will be in the land until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, until that time is done, their time is done, and their time is bought up. And there's just so many things that's associated with the scripture to contradict what was being said concerning these people in our land. First of all, the scripture says that when the nation of Israel is back in their land, that we'll have peace. We don't have to be afraid. Go over there. They ducking bombs. So there are contradictions, just common sense contradictions that would say, okay, if these are the people, then why the scripture is not manifested? Why is this people not a people who are falling in line with the law, statutes, and judgment? They'll have a gay parade straight up the heart of Jerusalem. When our law could clearly say that kind of stuff don't happen with my people. The law says, when I talk about the law, the Yah's word, the law says that when the nation is back in the land, that the land itself was going to rejoice. Desert was going to bloom. Going to be trees popping up everywhere and things to feed the nation. Stuff just going to be growing. You remember when our nation went and first scattered the promised land? Those 12 spies went into the promised land and scattered it. I mean, and did a scout. When they first scattered out that land, those spies went in that land, what they come back with? A cluster of grapes. Now, I'm just saying from a cluster. You know how you can go to the store and you can buy a cluster of grapes. You know, it comes in a bag. Well, the land was so prosperous back in that day, they came back with a cluster and 2 men had to carry. You know, I can give a cluster of grapes now to my granddaughter, you know, my grandson. They carry a cluster of grapes. But it took 2 men to carry a cluster to bring back to show the wealth of our land. You don't see that kind of stuff happening over there now. And so these are common sense things that will let us know something ain't right. But these people were the people. There should be peace in those lands. But you got those Muslims wanting to blow them off the map. Well, Yah said when the people are back in the land that they will have peace and they should be able to grow their own vineyards and things like that and eat up the fruit thereof. And none shall be afraid. Not one. Not one shall be afraid. See, y'all, things just don't line up. Things are just not lining up. And so it's vitally important for us to be able to look at these things and to be able to show our people from these perspectives. Just use your common sense. You ain't got to get deep in the scripture. Use common sense. So from these common sense perspectives, it just let us know that there are some things that is terribly wrong. Yah will gather us. In Isaiah 11, verse 11 and 12 talks about it. Ezekiel 37 talks about it. Or just Isaiah 11 itself. The whole chapter, just read Isaiah 11. Ezekiel 37, it talks about it. Ezekiel 37 talks about the dry bones. So Ezekiel 37 is a prophecy about us waking up. It's a prophecy about us. See, y'all, the mere fact that we're waking up is the proof to let us know that our Redeemer is soon to come. How, preacher, do you know the time is close? Because we awaken. That's how I know. Ezekiel said that the dry bones will live again. And when the dry bones live again, that the dry bones will come to the realization that we're cut off, destroyed because of our part. We played a part. Ezekiel 37, verse 11. We're cut off for our part. Therefore, prophesy and say to them. that I open your grave and cause you to come up out of your grave, and I put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I place you in your own land. So the mere fact that we are awakened is proof that the time is close, that we're going back to our own land. So it's a wonderful thing to be awakened. And we know that our redemption draweth nigh, because if our redemption had not drawn nigh, then we would be still asleep. That's why Romans 11 says, I called them to sleep. But when I wake them up, they're going to be provoked to jealousy. Ain't we mad at folks in our land? Yeah, excited about it. Every time I see pictures of it, or they show it in our land, I just be so upset, because they just own my stuff. And I don't like nobody to be in my stuff unless I let them. Don't come up in my house and just sit down on my couch and start eating my food without my permission. So, yeah, I'm jealous. I'm jealous, and I don't know what about my land. About our land. So, yeah, I'm jealous about it. I'm jealous about it, and I ain't going to be right until I get what belongs to me. I ain't going to be right. And I ain't shutting up either. And so it's vitally important that it's been prophesied that we will be awakened. Notice, for generations and generations, we lost our heritage. We didn't know who we were as a nation. Why now? Why all of a sudden now you have Israelites all over the world who are coming back to their heritage? Why? Why? Because our redemption draws nigh. It is the manifestation of the scripture of Ezekiel 37 says this exceedingly great army would rise, and they would say, okay, we are cut off for our part. The best thing we can do as a nation is to seek our Yah and humble ourselves and start to admit that we messed this thing up. It's vitally important for us to start doing that. And that's what the remnant has started to do. The remnant don't have time to be out trying to attack white folks and attack other folks and do all. The remnant is going to Yah saying, we messed this up. And I like how the scripture says that here's how the remnant will treat Yah. You know how in today's society, anytime you have a couple that's interested in one another, 9 times out of 10, you will have the, or at least that's the way it's supposed to be, you will have the male that will chase the woman. He'll pursue her. He'll wine and dine her and try to do all these different things to get to know her. You know, he'll do all the things necessary to establish that relationship. Well, the scripture says that the woman, Israel, is going to be whining and dining. I'm just saying it in my word. Is going to be whining and dining God. See, that's what our problem is as a nation. We want him to do something for us, and God's saying, you better come on, take me out. You better come on and start romancing me. When our nation, as we wake up as a remnant, we will realize that, look at him, I'm not going to sit around and wait on Yah to come get me. I'm going to go court him to come take me home. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to seek him. See, he came, he said to us, he said, I came to you when you were not a people. In other words, you were insignificant. I sought you out. You were nothing. You were nothing but a bunch of heathen, just like the rest of them. And I told your father Abraham, get thee out of thy country from thy kingdom. Genesis 12. And I'll lead you to a place that I have chosen for you. So Yah picked us, and he wined and dined us and romanced us and gave us his laws, statutes, and judgment and made us a people for himself, brought us as a people to himself, for himself. Now he's saying, you want this relationship? You better come get it. See, when you truly love something, you'll go get it. You'll go after it when there's issues going on. Yah is saying, I love you, but I'll chase you to the end of the world to the point where I had to scatter you through it. Now, if you wanna get this thing going again in my people, 2 Chronicles 17:7-14, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear. Come romance me. Then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Why would he say if we pray he'll heal the land? He didn't say I'll heal you and get you ready for a heaven trip. He said I'll heal your land. And the only way the land is healed based upon the scripture is when Zion see the children of Israel coming back to her. The land is mourning because the children are not back in the land. The people are not back in the land. So the only way the land can heal is for the people to tread on the soil by which is their heritage. That's why it looks the way it looks now. You go look over that land, it looks like a desert. Desert, and you ain't got nothing but fruit trees around there. Our land didn't look like that. Our land was a land flowing with milk and honey. You had grass, you had streams, it was the most beautiful place that you can look upon. To the point where it had grapes, a cluster that two men had to carry. So it's vitally important for us to understand this, and we start to wake our people up and get them ready for the return. Like I said, we have to declare it, but only a remnant is going to hear. So I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to go ahead and close. I'm going to stay right on time, because I ain't through working yet. I got some more stuff to write. This is not our homeland. We have to understand that. Yeah, we own houses. We own the land. Never will. I broke that down to you when I was at training school. We own houses, but we don't own the land. You can pay your house off, but you still got to pay taxes on the land because it's not our land. Y'all not going to let us be settled here. Don't pay them taxes on that house that's paid off to see what's going to happen to the house and your land. You're going to be booted off of it. This is not our homeland. Homeland means by one native land. This is not our native land. I don't care if you're born here. It's still not your native land. There are Frenchmen that's born here, but they will tell you their homeland is France. That's why when you ask these Europeans, okay, where do you come from? Well, my family is German. So their homeland is Germany. Well, I'm Irish. Wait a minute, weren't you born in America? Yeah, but I'm Irish, though. I'm Irish American. So my homeland, if anything all happens, if the scripture talks about that some stuff going to go down and everybody will start going back to their homeland. Notice, everybody got somewhere to go but us. Germans can go back to Germany. The French can go back to France. The Irish can go back to Ireland. Just keep on going with it. Everybody can go, but when all hell breaks loose, where we going? Around the corner and get up under the tree, drink a bud here and there, smoke a cigarette and joint, whatever we going to do like we always do. We came over here and we were nigger, then we went to Negro, then color, then black, then African American, now we calling ourselves nigger again. Where we come from? Everyone has a homeland. And Yah has awakened us to tell us where ours is. It's just that all nations, according to Psalm 83, are when one consents to hide the hidden ones or to cause another nation to cease from remembrance. It is to everybody's interest to cut us as a nation off, because our land mass is nations. Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, parts of Egypt, just keep going. So it's a whole lot of people got to get out of that land once Israel is established as a nation back in that land. Now you understand why that one, the so-called one tribe just want to stay in there. Nope, we can't let all the rest of the Israelites come in there, child, that be, all this go to hell real fast. Then you have other nations who understand that, wait a minute, we can't let them out of here, because if we do, the economy's going to crash. See, Jeremiah told our nations, he said, when you go into these, when you go into captivity, he said, pray for the peace in the city. Babylon. He said, pray for the peace so that you will have peace. Let me tell you something. The only reason why there's peace in America at this point is because we're here. The only reason why all nations hadn't been dealt with at the highest level is because we're in those nations. But as Yah starts to deal with his remnant and start to gather us and give us an understanding, he's going to start to bring judgment down on nations. And when he does, and when he do that, then you're going to have some Israelites who want to still cleave to these homelands that's not their home, that's going to perish along with it. 66% of Israel gonna die in the future based upon Zechariah chapter 13, verse 8 and 9. 66%. That's all over the world. See, we Americans, we think it, we African, we a so-called African American, we don't think that that applies. We can't wrap our mind around that fact. So we think it, so I'm just kind of put it this way just for the sake of conversation. It may be 100,000 Israelites here in America that may get about as a remnant. Because we're talking about one-third or 33-34% all over the world. 34% all over the world, not just in America. So it just may be 100,000 Americans that are Israelites that get up out of here. That's over narrowing. For many are called Israel, but few are chosen Israel. Many are called Israel, but few are chosen Israel. Are you going to be the one that's chosen? And so you see all these different things that are going on where you have the nation of Israel saying, well, you know what, man, I don't care what nobody said, man, I got to have my bacon. You're the two-thirds, 66% bacon eater. I'm just going to make it plain as I can make it. You're the 66% because you think y'all going to spare you and you disobeying his law. You're the 66%. That's why you can't turn that bacon loose. You're the 66%. That's why you can't turn that shrimp loose. You're the 66%. That's why you can't turn that shrimp loose. You're the 66%. That's why you can't turn it loose. I don't care what you hear. You can't turn it loose because you are the 66% that will be cut off. All Israel who are the remnant, the 33%, 34, because 144,000 is a part of that 34. All Israel will change. The remnant will change. All Israel, the remnant will change. Those who are not the remnant will not change. That's why I laugh at Israel. I'm like, you go ahead and do what you do. But when it's time to go, see if you go. I don't care if you're hearing the words, if you're hearing my words right now. If we don't line up with what God is saying, we're not the remnant. It is what it is. Remember when I said when the training school, I said God is drawing a line in the sand. He's making it clear what's going back and what's not going back. So all these Christians, bacon eaters, shrimp eaters, I just say that because that's what we do as a nation of people. we will rebuke you behind the pulpit. We will go to the scripture and we'll quote the scripture that says all things are good for food. We'll stop right there. It says, continue on, for it is sanctified by the word of Yah. What's sanctified? Leviticus 11. Sanctified means set aside by the word of Yah. So when you read that passage, you have to say, what is set aside by the word? Leviticus 11. So I'll be laughing at them. I don't say nothing. I've been teaching folks for some years, and when I see them do it, I sit back and 66% are right here. I will be in that number. And I pray that all of you be in that number. Y'all ain't playing with us. I'm going to read this and then I'm going to close me for real this time. If you don't have any questions, comment. I did a lot of talking and I quoted a lot of scriptures. I just didn't call the scriptures out. Now I can call them out. I just didn't want to. Read this and then I'm through. This is Zechariah 13. I've said it, quoted quite a few times. We've looked at it quite a few times. Let's start at verse 7. It says, awake, O sword. This was a prophecy. It says, awake, O sword. So it lets us know weapons against my shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, says Jehovah of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. The shepherd that was smitten is our Savior. When he was smitten, the armies came in 70 A.D. After he was smitten, the armies came in 70 A.D. and scattered us as a nation. We've been in tribulation ever since. So you get the church that said, the tribulation is 7 years. Be like, them dummies ain't got a clue. We've been in tribulation ever since we left Jerusalem in 70 A.D. We ain't been in no 7 year 20... We ain't been in no 7 year tribulation. We've been in generations and generations of tribulation. It's troublous time for us. Jacob's trouble is cut in that hand. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, you have to understand that history repeats itself. So you get a lot of times people will read scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah, and they'll say, oh, that's when he was talking about the Babylonian captivity. Oh, that's when he was talking about the Assyrian captivity. No, the word has a twofold revelation. You know, Ecclesiastes said that which has been, has been. There is nothing new under the sun. So you can look at the scriptures and see the revelations of it, and it will happen over and over throughout history. History repeats itself. Every time our nation got killed, every time our nation rebelled, we were murdered in large numbers. It was left but a few. We always increased back in numbers. That's why Jeremiah told our nation when we were going into Babylon, he said, give your sons to daughters. Give your daughters to sons, let them marry, build houses, have children. Let your children have children, he said, so that you don't diminish in the land. Because we always were murdered during these captivities in large numbers, but we always increased because we were decreed as a nation to create. We were always as a nation given instruction to produce children. That's why when you go back and look at our laws, statutes, and judgments, I'm jumping out there in some that a lot of people in America are not ready for. That's why you had multiple wives and things in these nations, because we were constantly being encouraged to increase. But the reason why America brought us over here in captivity and made it a law that we can only have one wife is because they didn't want us to increase in the land. Everything is a plan. Think about it. If you as a nation increases, and they as a nation who cannot increase at the level by which you increase, we would have already increased them up out of here if we could operate according to our laws, statutes, and justice. So they said, oh, we got to stop this. We can't let them do that to Father Abraham. We got to stop this. We can't let them do that to Father David. We got to stop this. So we got to pervert the doctrines that they understand, the laws by which they understand, and make them throw away the fact that if a brother has a wife and the wife doesn't have children, and the brother dies, then the other brother's supposed to take his wife who he have no children by and marry her and give children to her so his brother's name can stay in the land. That's our law. If my brother had a wife and he died not having any children, then the law says that I would have to marry my brother's wife, give her a child for my brother's name to stay in the land and be my brother's child. That's our law. But we so perverted and so Americanized that we don't understand the process by which our laws are in place to keep us from diminishing. This is why women stop childbirth after a certain amount of years, but a man can childbirth or give seed until he dies if he's healthy. Y'all not ready for the remnant. That's why Isaiah lets us know that when this day is done and we're back in the land, the scripture says seven women will take hold of one man and say, will you give us a name? So that we won't be able to reproach in the land. We're not ready for the remnant. We as faith we are. And those who are not willing to adjust to the law, statutes, and the judgment of God, that's the 66%ers. So what you just heard, and you said, you're a 66%er, that's why. Verse 8, and I'm through. And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith Jehovah, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. But the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third, 33%, all over the world. I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. I got a baby that's hearing me. So I can't say it like I want to say it. I'm just going, y'all going to beat the heck out of us. And y'all know what that heck, what I'm talking about, the word that I want to use, because I want to be blunt, but I'm not. You know, I want to teach my baby certain language that they're not able to use at this point. Although it's really not nothing. It's just, you know, Americanism terms, but I still don't want them doing it yet. So I kind of tailor myself at some certain time, unless he just tell me to go ahead. So y'all going to beat the heck out of us as a nation. And after he beat the heck out of us as a nation, we're going to start courting. Yeah, we're going to be jumping up in his lap, kissing him all upside his head, and rubbing on the back of his neck, trying to get him to love on us when we go through this fire. When we get refined and dealt with as a nation to the point where we hold our head up and say, y'all have the way you want it. It's fine with me. He said, when they call on my name like that, verse 9, I will hear them. I will hear them. Y'all ain't paying attention to us as a nation yet. I said, as a whole. He's paying attention to some remnants that's rising up. He's not paying attention to the nation as a whole. He said, when they as a nation call me, I hear them. Other than that, all of them going to suffer to a certain extent. See, it's suffering to me to have to watch my people go through the things that they're going through. See them murdered on the streets. There are three ways by which we will be cut off. Pestilence, diseases, famine, hunger, and the sword, weapons. Those are three methods all over the world. So when you see the little baby that you think is an African that's out on the street with the flies flying all up on his face and all of them, he got a little swollen stomach or she has a little swollen stomach, you're looking at an Israelite. You're not looking at an African. It's just that they have so duped us into thinking that we're separate or we're not Africans per se. Yeah, our people in Africa, the same way there are African Americans, so to speak, the same way there are Israelite Americans, there are Israelite Africans. Just that they dumbfounded with African America. Now, African Americans, they should have said Israelite Americans. Now you got us now. Israelites who live in America. There are Israelites who live in Africa. There are Israelites who live in Britain. There are Israelites who live in Russia. There are Israelites all over the world. We are dying by the sword, weapons, famine, hunger, and pestilence diseases. Why do you think stuff falling off of us? And we have issues with our body, high blood pressure, and we're having all these other things going on because we as a nation have not completely turned to Yah. So we're all suffering in one fashion or another. And you may have some who, and I don't want you to be scared because you may have some who are taking certain medicines and things like that. That's not a put down. That's just to show you that we as a nation as a whole is suffering. That's what I mean. We all are suffering in one facet or another. I don't have any issues as far as my physical body is concerned, but I'm still suffering because I'm dealing with a system that is not in line with Yah. So because I deal with a system that's not in line with Yah, I have been cheated out of hundreds of thousands of dollars personal income. Because I put together plans to get those funds, and the plan was put together in an excellence by the leading of the Spirit of Yah to get those funds. Should have gotten them, but they cheated me out of some of those funds. Some I did get, some I didn't get. But when I put it all together, it's hundreds of thousands that I have been sorrowed out of. But at the same time, I praise Yah because I know that His will is saying, I'm not going to let you get comfortable depending on something that's not me. I want you to depend totally on me. So Yah says that until we as a nation totally turn to Him. When we seek Him, call on His name, He said, I'm going to let all these different little things go on. You're going to be popping pills and you're going to be getting cheated out of stuff, getting killed out on the street, and you're going to be hungry and you're going to be in pestilence and all this stuff is going on with us as a nation. He said, I'm going to try you until you call on me. I'm going to try you until you court me. Oh, boy, I'm learning how to court that man. And I'm just saying it that way. Boy, I know how to court him. I can get his attention. And so now he's saying, because you know how to court me, boy, I'm going to teach you how to teach everybody else to court me. Then I can do something with you. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. See, he ain't listening to all Israel. He's listening for his remnant. The 33%, he's saying, those who I'm waiting on, I will hear them. I'm not going to hear all Israel. I ain't hearing that crazy joke out there standing on the corner smoking dope and on crack and all this crazy stuff and want to do all this other kind of stuff that has nothing to do with my law, statute, and judgment. He said, I ain't listening to that one. So every time you tell one of them, just pray, and God's going to bless it, not the one I live for. Y'all ain't even paying attention to you. I know you're Israel, but I'm not paying attention to you. My remnant is the only one who's going to get my attention. When they call, I will answer. I will say, oh, my people now. And they shall say, Jehovah is my Yah. It's a mutual agreement. Now, that's the new covenant that the scripture talks about in Hebrews and also in Jeremiah. All right? Y'all got it? I'm going to close right there. Father, y'all, we bless your name once today. And wait a minute, let me start. Anybody got questions or comments? We're good? Okay. Let's jump out there now because I'm finna close the door. All right. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for another facet of understanding. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. And we praise you for awakening us to be the remnant of Israel. And we just kind of privileged to be in that number. And we glorify you in the name of our wonderful Savior, Yehoshua Mashiach. We look forward to his return. In his name we do pray. Amen.